Good morning. It's 9:06. You are listening to News Radio 92.3. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm here, Tammy, with Mr. Josh Chris. I know y'all are excited about this. It's the Garden Line. I would love for you to join in. You can text or call at 850-437-1620. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Doing good. He's a residential horticulture. That is a hard word to say.
It is a hard word to say.
I got it out. Agent at Santa Rosa County. Mm-hmm. So we're so happy to have you this morning. I know this is a popular day when we have the Garden Line. So let's talk about some things. You were talking to Jenna about edible.
Yeah, that's one of the ways that we're trying to do our, so every extension office, because there's 67 of them, because there's one in every county, I think one in every county, has a garden, and we have gardens at the Santa Rosa one as well, and we're in the middle of transitioning from a ornamental garden to a much more edible, kind of demonstrating that you can have edible stuff in your front yard that's both decorative and edible at the same time.
Okay.
And we're also trying to build a food forest out there to kind of prove that that's a concept that you
really
can do
cool.
Where you can build it. And a lot of the ones that you see on the internet, on YouTube or whatever, anything like that, is very often very weedy and very overgrown. So we're trying to show that you can do one and make it landscaped and make it manicured and still have all the benefit.
That's awesome. And what are some types of weeds or plants that are edible?
Things you don't think of. Swiss chard makes a very pretty
okay, yes.
plant, and you can eat it. There's all kinds of fruit trees that get very pretty flowers in the spring, and then they get their fruit, and as long as you keep the fruit picked up, most of your HOAs don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
so there's that kind of thing. We're also, in ours, we're going to start our anchor tree is going to be chestnuts, which is something that not a lot of
okay.
people think about.
Yeah.
So that one produces a nice little nut for you, and then you can grow it that way. In this area, pecans would be a great one to do for your anchor tree for that
yes.
and your overstory type mm-hmm. trees. Pecans would do a great job for that.
My aunt had a pecan tree. We used to go pick them off the ground and mm-hmm. try to open them up. Those are a lot of fun. Paul of Blue Landscaping says, I cook with oxalis. Is that how you say that?
Yep.
And what type of plant is that?
It's just a little flower. So there is a one, I think it's called champagne and wine or something like mm-hmm. that. And it's a purple
well,
one that
right
gets
up
a little
my alley. Let me write that down.
Well, it's a purple leaf that gets a little pink flower, I believe. And then as you're driving around, if you happen to see down in the ditch and stuff, if you see a whole bunch of pink flowers mm-hmm. and things of that nature, that's probably oxalis.
So I can just pull over on the interstate and grab some pink flowers.
Yeah.
Okay. This is awesome. But I've also seen people use them for tea.
Yep.
Things like that. I know that my sister, Courtney, in Arkansas, she does a lot of that. And she was literally in her yard picking these purple flowers the other day that I thought were just weeds. And she's like, you can eat these.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
You can eat a lot more stuff than people realize you can eat.
I definitely agree with that.
On the neighborhood of tea, most people don't realize that tea is actually a camellia.
Really?
All tea in the world is a camellia, Camellia sinensis. It's from China, and it's a camellia.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any of the fun facts? I don't know.
Oh, probably.
Mushrooms. Let's talk about mushrooms.
We can, if you'd like to. I'm not a mycologist, but I can try.
You can try. Okay. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about what you do for your job.
Oh, so my job is to create programming, and by programming, I mean little lectures and things of that nature, for anything horticulture, basically, okay. that involves your residents. So I do lawns, landscapes, and anything with the word garden out of it. This year so far, I've taught rain gardens, I've taught lawn care. I think this month in all the libraries in Santa Rosa County, I'm going to be doing vegetable gardening, basically how to plant it, how to execute it, things of that nature. And I do a garden planning course as well.
Oh, I love that. And how would our listeners know about that?
So if you go to the Santa Rosa County Extension page and you go to upcoming events, I don't think I put them on there. I'll probably put them on when I get back to the office today.
Okay.
But the April events, I put them out there on that calendar, and then I also advertise them through the county's public information office. Mm-hmm. And I have a Facebook page,
okay.
UFIFIS Santa Rosa Master Gardeners.
Okay.
If you go there, I create events on there and do it that way. And also, if you go to the Santa Rosa County Extension page, I usually cross those over.
So a lot of places we can find this.
Hopefully.
Let me get them from you a little later on, and I'll post them for you on our Facebook page.
Sure.
That'll be helpful. So our listeners can find out that because I think I would need that. Yep. I have a complete black thumb, so.
So nobody has a black thumb.
Oh, I don't? Oh, good.
What you have is a lack of knowledge, and I don't mean that as to sound quite as bad as it sounds.
No, it
but
doesn't.
What you have is a lack of knowledge. What I find is most people love their plants
that.
Too much.
You're not ignorant, Tammy. You just have a lack of knowledge.
No, the problem is that people love their plants too much because we love our plants and we want to give them water, and then we look at them and we go, oh, well, I didn't water it today. And then we water it a little more, and then we say, oh, I didn't water it today, and we water a little more. The problem is your roots need oxygen. So if you're watering too much, you're drowning them.
They get plenty of oxygen for me because I forget to water them for literally two weeks.
That's the other end
and
of that spectrum.
And then I give them tons like, oh, no, you're dying.
That's the other end of that spectrum is you don't water them enough.
All right. I want to let you know that Josh is here to answer your questions. You can call or text at 850-437-1620. We had someone say, good morning. Good morning to you
well, good
and
morning.
Me. Good morning to you. My mother-in-law bought me a plant that should not have died.
Okay.
It should have lasted forever, and I still killed it.
What kind of plant?
Don't ask me that question.
Well, here's the thing.
What I always say. I can keep children alive. They're fed. But the plants.
Well, children are a lot more feedback.
Oh, that's true. you're right.
So... if you have a houseplant like that, we don't just do lectures and articles and things of that nature. We also, I run the Master Gardeners for Santa Rosa County. Mm-hmm. And so you can always call us or email us or come in and talk to us. And I, either myself or one of my Master Gardeners, will sit down with you and walk through every single thing you need to do about any type of plant.
This is why you're here. Because, you know, I have been in Pensacola for almost 17 years and I did not know there is a Master Gardener line that I could call and say help.
There is.
So
actually, for Pensacola, it's a different office. But
okay,
for anybody in Santa Rosa County, it's me. It's actually Beth Bowles over here in Escambia County, who is an amazing agent. So you guys have a great resource.
Okay. I'm going to get all this information for you. But like I said, if you want to join in, you have a question, because I know I have lots of questions about plants and things like that, what's going on in your yard. And it's hard. I feel like in Pensacola, with the soil we have, it's kind of hard to grow things. Is that true or not? Unless you have like a bed, and that's much easier because you can control the environment.
No, it's not. You just need to amend the soil. The problem is the soils down in this end of the county are very sandy, and so sand doesn't like to hold on to anything. So any of the nutrients that you throw on it are going to go through pretty quick, and then any of the water you throw on it's going to go through pretty quick. So you just need to make sure you're going to need to water more often. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to need to amend your soils, but you can grow things in the ground down here.
Yes, I'm sure we can. I'm just kidding. It's okay. I'm learning. And every week that we have the garden line on, I'm going to learn new things and be able to grow new things. So I'm super excited about that. We're about to have a quick break. It is 9:14. Don't get ahead of ourselves this morning, right? You're listening to News Radio 92.3. Thank you so much for tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have Josh Chris here with us. Like I said, he's a residential horticulture agent, so he has tons of knowledge and information for you. So don't hesitate to text or call 850-437-1620.
That was Four Master Gardeners. But I'm more than willing to come teach.
He rocks in the treetop all day long, popping and popping. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm Tammy Martin with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And today we have Josh Chris with the Garden Line. So happy to have you this morning. Thank you so much. If you want to join the conversation, you can. Just give us a call or text, 850-437-1620. We were talking about, during the break, the sale in Milton. You were a part of that.
Yeah, we had two booths there.
You had two booths. That's great. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that is put on by UF Milton. The student club there, they grow plants. That's one of their classes is annual and perennial gardening. And they actually grow all those plants right there in the greenhouses. And then they put them out for sale. And then all the profits of that kind of go to their scholarships and things of that nature.
Awesome.
And so that's fun. And then myself, my Master Gardeners are having a sale April 14th and 15th to benefit our Master Gardener program and sort of build up resources in our county for my folks. And we're going to sell all manner of natives. And another one of our philosophies, another part of our garden is how to use natives for landscaping. Okay. And so we sell a lot of the natives that we're trying to put in there.
Okay.
So
that's great. And then you also talked about you have a master garden class. Become a master gardener.
I do. If you'd like to become a master gardener, I'm taking applications for that through June. And you can just go to the Santa Rosa County Extension page and then go to Master Gardener Volunteer Information, and the application's on the bottom there. Now, you do have to understand it's not just a class. It's we're going to expect you to volunteer with us afterwards.
Okay.
So the first year comes with 75 hours of volunteer time and 10 continuing education units. Mm-hmm. And then subsequent years after that is 35 hours with 10 continuing education units. But if you want to be around a group of people that have gardened in this area for some of them upwards of 50 years, mm-hmm. It's a good group to be a part of, and your gardens will thrive afterwards.
Oh, that's definitely something I need to take.
But it's pretty intensive course because we give you a lot of horticulture knowledge. So I try to pour my whole brain into their whole brains.
I love that.
And see if that works.
Does it work usually?
Usually. They retain, you know, quite a bit of it. So.
I try to do that for my children, but it never seems to work. I'm trying.
I think we all try that.
Mom, I know more than you.
Yeah, I think we all try that.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. All right. So I know that when I was growing plants above ground, actually what I was going to ask you is what is the best plant to grow here at this time of year?
The best plants to grow
yes,
here this
like
time of year?
Yes, like outside in your garden
bed.
Oh,
we are getting past the freeze.
Okay.
So our official last freeze date, I think, is March 1st, technically. But it's not unusual for us to get freezes into April. And so I think Easter is when most people say is a safe time to put your plants out.
Okay.
And so now is the time for vegetable gardening, which is why I'm teaching vegetable gardening this month.
Yay.
Because all your tomatoes and okra and all mm-hmm. that stuff should be ready to be going out.
Okay, awesome. And some of y'all know I usually eat a plant-based diet, so that's right up my alley. Mm. For sure. And so you said tomatoes are good this time of year?
To put out, yeah. So tomatoes are weird here because you have to do them two times mm-hmm. in the year. You have to do them in the spring when it stays cool enough, and you have to do them in the fall when it stays cool enough mm-hmm. because through those summer months, it gets too hot and they won't flower.
Okay.
And so if they don't flower, you don't get fruit. And so usually we'll tell people to start them indoors back in like February, generally, mm-hmm. and then be putting them out this time of year, and then you're probably only going to get a month or two of them fruiting. And then you need to go ahead and remove those, and then you can start that process again about August. You can start to grow them indoors.
Okay.
And then put them back out when it cools back down.
Perfect. And I know I had the issue when I had tomatoes outside, bugs. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to prevent that?
So there is all manner of ways to prevent that.
If you want to go more organic.
Well, so we use a concept called integrated pest management. Mm-hmm. It's a four-tiered approach to pest management. We do mechanical controls, which is literally you picking the bugs off and chucking them in a bucket of soapy water to mm-hmm. kill them,
okay.
which is the most effective way. It's also the most labor-intensive
yes.
way. And then we do cultural controls, which are you don't let water stand in your gardens, you mm-hmm. you remove old plant litter, things of that nature. Anything that can host those,
okay.
those pathogens or those insects, mm-hmm. you remove it. Those are cultural controls.
Okay.
And then, of course, we have chemical controls because those are important. They're one of the tiers. We want to minimize that as much as possible. We really want to exhaust the other three tiers
okay.
before we get to that one. The reason for that being, if you have, say, a rose bush that's full of thrips and you spray it and you kill 98% of those insects and you go, all right, I killed my insect problem with these chemicals. Well, 2% of them lived. And those 2% are probably resistant to that chemical and now available to create a whole population that's resistant to that
mm-hmm.
chemical. So we always try to exhaust the other three before we do that. And then we try to minimize chemicals as much as possible.
Okay.
And the fourth one's the most fun. It's biological control because sometimes it's as easy as putting a birdhouse somewhere because birds eat bugs. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that bugs, there's something like 40 million insect species in the world. There's some crazy large number.
Oh, wow.
And they're an ecology unto themselves. They have predators. They have parasitoids. They have herbivores. They have all those, that same mix that you would expect with any other creature in the world. And so it's best to give habitat to those predators because they're going to come in and they're going to eat the bugs you don't want. So things like lady beetles or ladybugs, their larva eats aphids and eats mites and eats all those soft-bodied insects. So having those guys around will help keep those other pest populations in control. And the creepiest one,
uh-oh.
There's a fungus in the world because fungus are part of the biological spectrum too. Speaking of mushrooms. These aren't mushrooms, though, that actually will infect ants. I don't think we have this one here, but it will infect an ant. You can find it on Google, and you can find pictures of it, and it's creepy. And the fungus will start growing out of the ant, and there's one of them that takes over the ant's brain and makes it crawl to the top of a tree and then extend itself up as high as possible so that that fungus can propagate itself.
So it's like a zombie ant.
I think it's called the zombie fungus.
Is it really?
Yeah. And it is creepy, but that's why the biological controls are the most fun.
Zombie fungus. Wow. We all learn new things.
But yeah, if you look it up, you'll find all kinds of pictures of it, of fungus growing out of ants.
What?
Yeah.
I'm this old, and this is the first time I'm ever hearing this. Can this harm humans?
No. They don't like us as much, but it will help control your insect populations sometimes. Another one that you hear people all the time, but people consider it a chemical, but it's really not, is BT. It means Bacillus thuringiensis, I believe. It's a bacteria that infects caterpillars. So if you're having a lot of caterpillar damage, you can spray BT on it. And then it's actually a biological control, but people think it's a chemical control because it's a spray.
I love this. I'm learning all new things. Zombie fungus, bacterial control. I'm
glad I could be entertaining.
I love it. Thank you so much. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. It is 9:24. Thank you so much for tuning in to Pensacola Expert Panel. You're welcome to join the conversation at 850-437-1620. We're going to...
Tiny bubbles.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, and I'm here with Mr. Josh Chris. He is extremely intelligent. We're learning all sorts of new things. I love it. We were talking about bats.
Yep, we were.
And so let's talk about that for a minute, things that it can actually help you with.
Yeah, so that would be another biological control. We were talking about the four-tiered approach to pest control. They're another way to do it, and I was telling Jenna over here that there's a colony in Central Texas that eats so many that it's actually reduced the pesticide need for farmers in Central Texas. I wrote an article about it last year. It's on our extension site.
Okay. That's really interesting.
I think it's something about going bats for IPM or something like that. I
love it. That's amazing. That's great. I wanted to get – we had Janet text in. Said, please give a nod to the passing of local legend and avid camellia grower, Judge Roger Vinson. He went from a one-room schoolhouse in Kentucky to become a naval aviator, lawyer, and District 1 Florida judge appointed by President Ronald Reagan. He was a member and past president of the Pensacola Camellia Club. Pensacola Camellia Club is the oldest in the country. Community and family were tops for him. Thank you so much, Janet, for letting us know that. That's pretty cool. That is really neat.
Yeah, we've had them come and talk to my master gardeners before.
Really?
The Camellia Club. Yeah, they are. Woo, man, they know a lot.
I love that. Maybe we'll have to get them on.
They do. They'll tell you about all the different types of flowers and the breeding that's been done and the cultivars that have been made. And yeah, it's pretty in-depth.
That's great. Yeah, so we appreciate that feedback and letting us know that. And we were talking about birdhouses as well.
Yep. That's another biocontrol.
Yes, can we talk about that for a minute and how that can help?
Sure. Birds eat insects, just like a lot of things eat insects. And a lot of your grasshopper-type insects, they'll eat those if you put the right habitat out there for them. It's just another way to do it, really. Anything that will eat the insects you don't want is good.
Absolutely. I know that, is there certain types of birds, or is it just any birdhouses?
Yeah, you have to, birdhouses are very specific to the species.
Okay.
There's a lot of birds that like they like a smaller entrance because they don't want predators in there.
Right.
Or some of them, I think cardinals are the ones that like the platform.
Oh, I love cardinals.
Style
okay.
birdhouses.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily want to be enclosed.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a number of different ways of approaching it. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have more to unpack with Josh this morning on Pep Talk. If you'd like to chime in, call 437-1620. Stay tuned for a Fox News update, followed by a local news update in our newsroom at News Radio 92.
Yeah.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Josh Chris, the residential horticulture agent for Santa Rosa County. It's the Garden Line. We would love for you to join in. You can call or text at 850-437-1620. We hope you were having an amazing morning. We had Ray text in, what about Martin houses?
So purple martins are very good for mosquito control. Mm-hmm. Between those and dragonflies, they will actually eat a lot of mosquitoes. Remember, we talked about the predatory insects. And if you want a predatory insects, dragonflies are, from the time they are born in the water to the time they start flying, are predators their whole lives. But purple martins are another mosquito control, for sure. They'll eat a lot of them.
We just had this discussion, Jeanette and I, the other day about mosquitoes and how mm-hmm. they'll find me. They mm-hmm. will find me from miles and miles away and say, oh, there's Tammy. I'm going to bite her. So I need all the help I can get with that. So you're going to talk at Magnolia Gardens. Is that what it is?
Magdalene's Gardens.
Magdalene's Gardens.
It's actually, I think, Magdalene's Gift Shop, if you look it up on Google. Yeah, it's in Gulf Breeze.
And tell us a little bit about that. You'll be doing it April the 15th.
April the 15th. I think it goes from 9 to noon.
Okay.
They usually have more than one person speaking, but it's just kind of a get-together in their gardens. Now, they have an all-native garden there. So if you want to find out what natives will work, particularly down in the southern end of the county, it's a good place to go to look around and talk about what they have. But we're going to talk about fruit trees that day. And
fruit
the fruit trees that do okay. well here. And the fact that you can grow some up in Jay that you can't grow in Gulf Breeze, and you can grow some in Gulf Breeze
okay.
that you can't grow in Jay.
Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So,
I love fruit uh-huh. and fruit trees. How long does it take for them to mature for you to actually?
That depends on the species.
Okay.
Some of your apple trees can take 5 or 6 years before they'll produce any fruit for you. Mm-hmm. Some of them a little bit less. It really depends on the species
okay.
of fruit that you're dealing with.
And what's best to plant in Pensacola?
In Pensacola, loquat. Loquat, okay. or it's called Japanese plum sometimes.
Huh.
Those things will grow like weeds here. You can't stop them. They're great.
Awesome. What about like an avocado tree? How long does that take?
10,000
years and you get one?
Not 10,000 years, but they take a while.
Take
and
forever.
They don't necessarily like the cold. So you have to get a cold hardy one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, particularly in the early years, you're going to have to protect it in the winter still.
Okay.
And so they can be a little bit tricky
and
to grow here.
You talked last year about rainwater gardens.
Rain gardens, yeah.
Rain gardens, yes. Tell me a little bit about that.
So rain gardens are just a way to manage standing water on your property or the water that's coming off the top of your house. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will actually direct their gutters into these, and you just sort of build them perpendicular to your water flow coming off of your house. And it's a way for that water to go back down into the ground system rather than running off into the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
And in the process of doing that, because it passes through all those plants and because it passes through all those roots, it cleans the water up a little bit and just sort of manages it a little bit better.
Awesome. We had Catherine text in a picture of her first iris and gardenia this spring. Beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much for the pictures. Like I said, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Josh. You're welcome to join in the conversation. 437-1620. I appreciate you for texting in questions and pictures. That's amazing. And we were talking about turfs, grass.
Right, the various grasses around here, because there's five main grasses that people grow here.
Okay, and what are those?
Bahia mm-hmm. is the first one, and that one is much more of a pasture grass. So if you have horses and goats, you probably know more about Bahia.
Okay.
Bermuda, which is a very tough grass, but a lot of maintenance. The most popular one up here in the panhandle is centipede grass,
okay.
And that one's very low maintenance. People love it to death all the time. St. Augustine grasses, which are the most popular in all of Florida. It's a very hardy grass, and again, people tend to overwork those and kind of kill them back a little bit. And then zoysia grasses, which are taken over for the centipede grasses because they get a little bit more of that traditional green color mm-hmm. versus the centipede's a lot more much like lime green or a lot lighter of a green.
Okay. And then how much should we be watering this at this time of year?
Oh, this time of year, they're just now starting to come out of dormancy. Your grasses only need a half to three quarters of an inch at any given irrigation point. Mm-hmm. And so you need to know how much your sprinkler system's putting out, assuming you're using irrigation. And then you only really need to water when the grass shows you that it needs to be watered.
Okay.
And so when the blades fold up, that's one of the signs. Because they fold up, the light will hit them a little bit differently, and they'll change color. They'll get a bit of a blue sheen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're, say you're grabbing your groceries and you're running into your house and you look back out at your lawn 5 minutes later and your footprints are still in the ground, those are the three signs that you need to water. Now, you can get around that by watering just a little bit every day, not every day, but a little bit throughout the week, and to get that half to three quarters of an inch. But you need to keep in mind that it's rainier here than any other part of Florida.
Okay.
And so we get about 68 inches a year.
Wow.
And so you need to calculate that into your irrigation schedule, because you don't need to be watering if Mother Nature's doing it for you.
Right.
And you can actually kill your lawn back by watering it too much. So it's
I want to do that.
Well, you can also kill it back by fertilizing too much, which is the other thing people do.
I just can't win.
Well, no, because if you only stick to half to three quarters of an inch when your lawn requires it, and if you stick to the fertilizer recommendations that we give you, which for centipede grass is about only a pound per thousand square feet per year. So that's between April and September, three applications. So you only put a third of a pound down per that thousand square feet. People want to throw down. I talked to a guy yesterday that threw 70 pounds on his yard.
Wow.
Yeah. And we said, how big is your yard? And he said, well, not very big. I said, well, why'd you throw 70 pounds on it? So that's all right.
Sounded
though.
Good to me too.
Well, that's all right. We got him right in the back in the right mode to take care of his grass a little bit better.
And how would people find you?
Oh, you can find us on the internet if you just Google Santa Rosa Extension. Mm-hmm. We have a Facebook page for my Master Gardeners. If you look up UF IFAS Santa Rosa Master Gardeners, you'll find us there. We have an Extension page if you look up Santa Rosa Extension, also on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can find us there. I think we have links to, I just established a Twitter and an Instagram.
Oh, cool.
I've not been much of a social media type, but I have one of my Master Gardeners that's good at that, and she's handling all that now.
Okay.
So there's actually getting some content put on those now, and I cannot remember the name of those.
Okay. Well,
so
okay.
I'm sure that we can
we'll find them
on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, you can always call us. You can always walk in. You can come in on Thursdays. My ladies are out there doing the gardens, and if you want to come and talk to them, they're more than happy to talk to you. On Mondays and Thursdays specifically, I have Master Gardeners in routinely. I have them throughout the rest of the week too, but sometimes not always. But you can come on Mondays and Thursdays. Okay. I definitely have people in there generally, and you can come talk to them. And then I'm there most days from about 9 a.m. to about 3:30.
Okay. Perfect.
And you can come and talk to me.
So we have some amazing resources. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure everyone's busy. Everyone's got stuff going on, but you just gave multiple options, multiple days, multiple people. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So if you have any questions, you know, head on over, and I will get this information for you put up on the podcast. I'm going to get it from him in a few minutes, and I'll make sure it's attached to that so you have a way to find them, a way to contact them, maybe connect with them on social media, things like that. And once again, you said that you have a Become a Master Gardener class. When is that?
So that we're taking applications through June, and then that will start in July.
Okay.
And that course will go through November.
Okay.
And then I'm going to let everybody take their month for Thanksgiving and Christmas so they can spend time with their families. And then starting the beginning of the year, that's when your 75 hours starts that you owe me.
And is this something you do every day or on your own time or from?
So the Master Gardener program is a statewide program.
Okay.
And every county has Master Gardeners. And so there is curriculum that's already established at the state level through University of Florida that we need to teach, and there's topics we have to teach, and there's books and everything.
Okay.
But every county and every horticulture agent is supposed to maintain their core of Master Gardeners.
Okay.
And so I downsized last year because I just, you know, as time goes on, people can't do it anymore, don't want to do it anymore. So I am trying to get a class of about 20 this year.
Okay.
To get through and sort of buff my ranks back up, if you will.
Sounds amazing. Sounds great. You are listening to News Radio 92.3, Informative, Local, Dependable. I'm here with Josh. We would love for you to chime into the conversation, 850-437-1620. We'll take a quick break. We have more to come here on Pensacola Expert Panel.
Just wanna be a better man to my baby.
Welcome back. It's 9:48 here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mr. John Chris. He's the residential horticulture agent for Santa Rosa County. We're so happy to have you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You are welcome to join in the conversation. If you have a question, he is full of knowledge about everything I've noticed, even zombie fungus. That
I'm glad you said
about.
Knowledge. A lot of people say something else.
Oh, no, not here on Pep Talk. please join us. You can call or text 850-437-1620. We were talking about he has a Become a Master Gardener class coming up, Magdalene Garden. He's going to be there April 15th to talk about, tell me again what you're talking about.
Fruit trees.
Fruit trees, yes, that's right. And he said, you can't grow fruit trees in certain fruit trees in Jay that you can grow. Maybe
yeah,
in
there's a chilling hours requirement for a lot of fruit trees. And so if you're not somewhere that gets cold enough, then it won't fruit.
Well, there you go. And we get lots of rain here. We were discussing, watering your grass, making sure you're not overwatering, look at the weather, see how much, rain we get. We do get a lot of rain, especially in the summer months when it's super hot. But then I feel like it just rains every weekend that I'm off in the summer months. But
yeah.
Yep. Pretty much. I was just looking at the weather today, and it was 72, on the weekend. And then all week, it's supposed to be like 86 while I'm at work and not at the beach. That's not very nice. I appreciate it. So let's talk about a few things. I was wondering, do you have a favorite plant or a vegetable that you like to grow this time of year that you feel like does the best?
A favorite plant. Coleus is always a favorite. They're very ornamental. I saw a garden one time that's a mixture of coleus and some of the spinaches that will do well in the summer, like the Malabar type spinaches. That's always a neat little mix to do. So your coleus is going to grow really well here because they're a mint, and any mint here is going to grow really well in the summer and through the heat. And so that's a great one to do. Most people this time of year should be getting ready to fertilize their lawns actually for the first time. So you shouldn't be fertilizing lawns until April. And so now we're getting into that time of year.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We have a caller, Mike. Michael, thank you so much for calling us. Do you have a question for Josh here with us today?
I do. And again, it's Michael from the West Side.
From the West, excuse me, Michael from the West Side. Thank you so much for calling.
Which is the best side. Don't forget.
Oh, that's right. I remember Jenna telling me that this week. I'm going to have to write that down.
That's all right, Tammy. We'll get to know one another. Hey, I was calling about satsumas. Tell me what you think about them. And I've noticed in Seminole, Alabama, my brother he's got a satsuma that's got a real thin skin, peels so nice. Mm-hmm. And other satsumas I've had, the skin seems a little thicker. Still tastes good. I was just wondering, is there a variety, a thin skin and a thick, or is it just you get what you get?
I think,
and I'll hang up and wait for the answer.
I think that's really much more a matter of genetics. I'm not sure that there is necessarily one bred for thin skin versus not thin skin. I know that there's cultivars of pretty much everything. Of course, we do satsumas here, mainly because they're the only real cold-tolerant citrus. And so keep in mind it's tolerant, not resistant. So if it gets too cold like it did this year, a lot of people have had dieback on their satsumas. But I don't know that there is a necessarily cultivar. I'm trying to look it up right now. Necessarily a cultivar that is thin skin versus thick skinned. I think that's a matter of genetics more than anything. And if this ever pops up, I might be able to tell you some cultivars.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Michael, from the West Side, the best side, for calling in. I appreciate that. Like I said, if you want to call or text, it's 850-437-1620. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Josh Griss. He is a residential horticulture agent for Santa Rosa County, and I will get the information up you need to contact him. He has lots of resources if you need to go up there and ask a question. So he's got a lot of things coming up. He's going to be the master, he has a class to become a master gardener coming up, and the Magdalene Garden, he's going to be there to talk. You said April the 5th?
15th,
excuse me. April the 15th from 9 to 12. He's going to talk about fruit trees with that. And did we find anything about it?
I'm working on it right now.
Okay.
So all of UF's information is just out there for the public to read. Mm-hmm. If you Google anything, Satsuma tree and then put the letters IFAS after it. It means Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, okay. The people I work for. Everything that UF has as far as research is just out there for everybody to read. And so you can go out there, do a little bit of research on your own, and then any questions you have is generally what people call me with.
Oh, perfect.
And so I'm just trying to see if there's any cultivars of Satsuma that are listed in here for thin skins.
And I wanted to let everyone know that Skip from the Camellia Club is going to be here on the first Tuesday of December with Mr. Mike Wiggins for the Garden Line. So don't miss out on that because that's going to be very interesting. If you have any questions, any comments, anything you want to talk about, make sure you write that down as well. That's going to be the first Tuesday of December.
Oh, there we go.
Did you find it? Go ahead.
I did. Silver Hill Satsumas say they have a thin skin.
Okay, perfect. So, Michael, I hope that answers your questions. If you have any more questions, you can text it in, 850-437-1620. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. We're going to take a quick break and wrap things up. Welcome back. It's 9:57. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I am your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mr. Josh Chris. He is so knowledgeable. He's been so awesome this morning. If you have any questions, you want to join the conversation, we have a few minutes left. You are welcome to call or text at 850-437-1620. Miss Jenna Barr really hasn't left you completely. She is behind the scenes helping me today, so I truly appreciate that. We were talking about a turtle baby shower. I've never heard of this before. I think it's I think it's amazing. She said that my little girl will love it. Have you heard about that, Josh?
I've not heard about it. That was the first I'm hearing of it as well. She said it's in Pensacola Beach, which I think is in Santa Rosa County, but that would fall into our Sea Grant agent. So Extension is a very broad group of people. And so in Santa Rosa, we have six agents. We have me, who does residential horticulture. We have a guy that does commercial horticulture, so if you need to learn how to do pesticides and things of that nature, he's the one you talk to. Or if you want to turn your property into a small farm, he's the one you would talk to. We have a lady that does FCS, which is Family and Consumer Sciences, so she'll kind of help you out with family budgeting and canning and things of that nature that you would do in your house. We also have 4-H agents who deal with youth development, so they do a lot of teaching your kid how to speak in public and getting them on kind of a leadership track and sort of those kinds of things that you might not really think of to do. And then we have a Sea Grant agent who ours right now transitioned over to the county. So we're hiring a new Sea Grant agent, but they deal with all the waterways and all the bays and all things like that and all the crab traps and the things that you're hearing about lately. Mm-hmm. And so they would know about the sea turtle thing, I'm sure.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Josh, for hanging out with us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Coming up, we have Pro Health with us, so don't miss out on that. We are going to have a Fox News update followed by a local news update on our newsroom at News Radio 92.3.